Welcome to another life story, and this week I'm in the beautiful city of Granada, famous of course for the Alhambra, but this is a city brimming with historic architecture, dating back many hundreds of years. It's a vibrant university city with more bars than you can shake a stick at and is steeped in culture. This is the city of Federico García Lorca. My guest today, sharing her own life story, is another writer, Molly Sears Picavi, an award-winning blogger, travel writer, and social media commentator on all things Spanish. Molly, thank you so much for being my guest today.
Thank you very much.
Molly, you're something of a font of all knowledge regarding Andalusia, in particular as a travel destination. Tell me a little bit about what you do here in Spain.
Okay, well, I've been in Spain for 20 years or so, and since over the last 6 or 7 years, I've been promoting different places around Andalusia, especially the places that maybe aren't so well covered by marketing or by tourist companies. And I particularly like authentic destinations which have that Spanish feel. Maybe they're not so obvious. And I like to try and get some of these places out there and on the internet in English. And also some of the customs and the culture of things and the reason, the why behind things is something I'm really passionate about, rather than just glossing over things, trying to get into the nitty-gritty of why things, they are like they are.
I mean, you are a very, very busy woman. You're writing your blog. The blog has been going for how many years now?
6 years or so.
So yeah. You're writing the blog almost full time, and you're on the verge, or you have just opened a travel agency in Granada as well. Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's right. I've just set up, we began in May, a travel agency called Visit Fi. This is in the Isabella Católica Square, just off of Gran Vía. So this travel agency isn't to send people from here to Jamaica on holiday or something like that. It's not outgoing, it's incoming. So this will be for people coming to Granada who want to have tourist experiences in the city. Perhaps they want to visit the Alhambra and they haven't got tickets. We can help with that, which is obvious. But we can also help with other things like craft beer tours or a visit to the Sacromonte Abbey, which not everybody manages to see. And uncovering some other experiences that maybe aren't so easily reachable.
So the opportunities exist here. I mean, you're very entrepreneurial. You're always looking for opportunities. I mean, do you find this a place that stimulates your entrepreneurship?
Yes, it does, and no, it doesn't at the same time. It's like a bit of a contrast. The way things are set up in Spain generally across the board doesn't encourage anybody to be an entrepreneur. It makes things really difficult on the legislation bureaucracy side of things. You have to pay a lot of money to be a business person. I feel that you're penalised almost for running a business. But on the flip side of that, there's a lot to be done that hasn't been done by anybody, because things are so difficult to kind of set up, and people generally don't have this entrepreneurial flair. There are lots of things, like so many opportunities that I can see that are just there for the taking, that nobody's got there yet. And in other countries, maybe that isn't the case. You know, things have already been done.
Yeah, why do you think that's the case here? Do you think, to an extent, Granada's almost got complacent because the Alhambra is such a big draw? They almost don't have to think about other tourist opportunities that exist here, because there are a lot.
It's part of it, perhaps, that tourists are going to come because the Alhambra's here. But the other part is a cultural thing, whereas the people here, the families here who are in business, also the ones who are business people, have got restaurants, they've got hotels, they're doing well, and they just do the same old, and they're doing well enough. They think, why invent new things? Why create chaos in my life and have to work harder when it's already coming in and everything's going ahead? But what I'm kind of trying to fight for, if fight, maybe it sounds too aggressive, but what I'm trying to promote is that people stay in Granada, whether it be city or province, rather than bussing in from Malaga, bussing in from Seville. I mean, the other day I saw two buses come in from Seville, And I looked at the time, it was 5 o'clock. So they'd obviously come in the morning from Seville, gone up to the Alhambra. They might have had lunch somewhere, whether it was something just quick on the run. And then at 5 o'clock, they're going back. So what have they seen of Granada? What do they really know of Granada? But to them, it's checked off the list and it's done. They've been to Granada, but they haven't been to Granada because they've been to the Alhambra, which is one palatial city, and the city of Granada is in the valley below, and they haven't actually been to Granada. And I think it's a shame that people come and don't really wander the streets of Granada, wander along the Carrera del Darro and see other aspects of the city.
So this is the gap that you're trying to fill, and you're also looking at filling another gap, which is more at the luxury end of the market. And again, what would be the offering there?
Yeah, I think there's a mismatch again, where we're getting more and more 5-star hotel beds in Granada. I think three 5-star hotels were opened last year. 2016, and then this year there's a hotel which is called Hotel Alhambra Palace. Everybody thinks it's a 5-star, but it's actually not. It's officially a 4-star. They're getting their 5th star in autumn this year. So we're getting more and more 5-star spaces in the city, but we don't have any products or experiences to offer those people. People from Granada might argue with me with that, and they say, oh yes, but we have wonderful shops and we have wonderful restaurants. I'm not talking about restaurants and shops. I'm talking about actually experiences where I could offer somebody a 3-hour activity on a morning or on an afternoon or even for a whole day. But just something to fill in that space if they're doing an overnight or 36 hours and they're doing the Alhambra, what can we offer to those people? And I think that's something that isn't really well covered here.
Molly, I ask all of my guests to choose 6 pieces of music that best represent periods in their life story. Music that evokes a strong memory or marks a significant moment in their lives. What would be your first piece of music and why this particular piece?
Well, I've chosen Misunderstood by Robbie Williams because, well, Robbie Williams is one of my favourite artists. I can't explain it into words, but he's one of my favourite artists. The reason that I've chosen Misunderstood is because the lyrics and how it sums up how I feel when I first moved to Spain. When I moved from the UK to Barcelona, I thought my Spanish was really good. And when I got there, I realised that it wasn't. I was top of the class. I was like A-levels. You know, I'd done my A-levels. I got a really good level. But then when you go into the real world, you realise that it's not. And it's this frustration of not people saying that they understand you and you know that they haven't really understood. Yeah, and that to me kind of sums up this song really sums up that kind of feeling.
Molly Sears Picavee is my guest this week, sharing her life story, and we're sitting in a cafe on the lovely Plaza Bib Rambla in the heart of the beautiful city of Granada. Molly, Granada's your home now, and we've talked a little bit about your blog and your travel work that you're currently doing here. But you, in Granada, you've also spent a fair amount of time working in technology, and you've recently been named as ambassador for the United Kingdom for On Granada Tech City. What is this accolade?
Yeah, that's right. I received the naming ceremony was just about 3 weeks ago, actually. And what it is there's a plaza tecnológica, so a technological space here in Granada, which is located next to the new hospital on the Science Park. So it's really science and healthcare park. So that community is really a huge community, which is supported by Granada University and large pharmaceutical companies that have offices and labs there. And then there's a big community to do with science, R&D, innovation and technology on this park. And what they have is this organisation called On Granada Tech City, which is to promote this space outside of Granada. So if there are companies anywhere in the world that want to come and work on this science park, have some kind of technological transfer, knowledge transfer, it's all open to that. So they have over a dozen ambassadors. They have, along with the naming for me, they were naming for Japan and for Poland this year. But there are also another 10 or so which have been named in previous years. So basically what we're doing is there are the Spanish people who are sitting in the countries, or the opposite way around, foreign people like myself who are sitting in Granada, that when I travel or deal with UK, well, they say UK, I insist that it's more English-speaking countries, because I can't limit my reach to UK, because people are contacting me from Canada, from India, from all over the world. So I can't say, oh no, I'm only going to deal with the people from the UK. It will be, I will attend to whoever knocks on my door, as it were. So the idea is to offer this fantastic space to anybody who's interested in having a place in Europe to be in this kind of community. The reason this is kind of born is because Granada University has got very excellent faculty of medicine and of information technology. So it kind of goes hand in hand with that.
How did you get involved in technology? I mean, I'm really interested in because it's a very different business from your travel and your blog, to suddenly find yourself in technology, because you also worked with women in technology in Granada for a while as well,
yes.
Didn't you?
Well, basically, all of my career has been in science and technology since I began working. My first job was in Agilent Technologies. I was working in a bioscience department. I was selling DNA kits to the universities and machinery to do... linked with life sciences and biosciences. So I was in sales, but we were in bioscience field, and I was working there for about 7 years, I think. And then I moved from there into Telefonica R&D, and that was it was how to link healthcare with technology. It was a center of excellence for healthcare, for e-health, and that was based on this science park which I've just mentioned, the PTS in Granada. And then 2 years ago, I also launched the Spanish chapter of Girls in Tech, which is something that I've been working on for the last 2 years, to promote this science, technology, engineering, and maths in Spain generally, for women and girls, because there's a huge gap. Well, there's a huge gap across worldwide, but in Spain this gap is even more pronounced. And along with two colleagues, we launched this chapter in Spain to try and raise awareness, and that was going really well. But the last year, because I've got so many things going on, I've left that to one side, and I'm going to take on the ambassador role of on Granada. Obviously, I can't do everything.
You've got to choose. Is it gaining traction? I mean, the women in STEM subjects, did you say it's a worldwide problem, that skills shortage?
Yeah.
Is it gaining traction here?
Yeah.
Particularly when you look at women in work generally.
There's a problem. The problem is so huge. Even with initiatives like this, we can't begin to tackle it. I think it's good because it gets it on the radar and people kind of question and think about it and maybe change their ideas, but I think it's a slow burn. And the problem is that the R&D investment in Spain has been going down over the last years generally, so we can't start to idealize if the basics aren't there.
What's your second piece of music, Molly, and why did you choose this particular piece?
So the second piece of music is by Paco de Lucía, and it's a guitar piece called Entre Dos Aguas. And for me, this just, you hear it and it means Andalusia.
You're listening to Live Stories, and my guest this week is Molly Sears-Picavi, a travel writer and blogger and businesswoman. And we're sitting in a cafe in the centre of Granada, the city where Molly lives. I want to return to your blog, Molly. And when did you start writing the blog? It was 7 years ago,
nine years ago? I think it was about it was 2011 when it started to have some shape of the blog today. I had actually started before that, but it was a bit more homemade.
What was the idea behind the blog? Was it just a sort of online diary at first?
No, to start with, it was just to save myself time, which is just absolutely ridiculous now when I think about it. Because I was working in a corporate environment, I was organising a lot of events, and I just kind of got this reputation amongst my colleagues, friends and family that I always knew the good restaurants and the good places to go. So people would send me these random emails and say, my great aunt is going to London, can you tell her where she should go to for afternoon tea? Or a colleague from Madrid would ask something like that. And so I keep getting these same requests over and over again. And so I got emails with bullet points, and I just keep forwarding these emails to these places. And then I learned how to do a WordPress blog for free and thought, oh, it's brilliant. I can just get all those emails and just stick them on the blog, and then I can forget about it. And when people ask me whatever question, I just send them the link and I don't have to write anything. So to me, it was a time saver. And then, of course, you think, oh, now I can write this other thing. Oh, now I can put a photo on there. And it gets more and more elaborate. And the more elaborate it gets, the more the reach expands. And then the more people are interested. And there we go.
Because it has been a very successful blog. So last year, you were named Fitur Travel Blogger of the Year, which is some accolade when you were looking at other competition.
Yeah, it really was. It quite knocked me for six, and I must say that the people who choose the winner of that award, they are people from like a director of one of the big hotel chains. It's the director of Fitur. The panel of judges, I mean, you look at them and you're like, wow, they know their stuff. So I was really proud when I saw the selection process that they'd selected me from the blog. But then I looked at the criteria of how they chose which blog won. And one of them was frequency of publication. And I thought, well, yeah, that's obvious, because I've been putting on a new post once or twice a week for the last 6 years with no break.
Yeah.
And I think that's hard to beat, you know, and certainly consistent. So.
And has the nature of the blog changed? So from its starting point, has it changed over that period of time, given that it's become more visible and you have been written about? So, for example, the Daily Telegraph in the UK has said that your blog is one to watch. It's, you know, it's got that sort of traction. So have you felt a responsibility to develop it in a certain way, or has the integrity remained the same?
That's a really good question, actually, because I can see other bloggers or other writers, when they get to a certain point of a certain audience or a certain influence, that they start to whack in, I don't know, ads and a lot of promo, or sell green tea to get thin or whatever. And to me, in Spanish, you would say you've lost north, you've lost your way a little bit. I'm really keen not to let that affect me and not let the quality of the blog be lost or the voice. And I'm trying my best to keep this same feeling and sentiment that I started with. So it's a fine balance, really, because I do get interest from some big companies. Particularly in Spain, the tourist industry is run basically along Levante, Benidorm Way, Costa del Sol, the islands, Tenerife or Palma de Mallorca. That's where the main tourist hubs are. So the main people dealing in digital marketing, tourism marketing, are in those areas. So obviously they're the ones who send me most offers and the best offers. And some of them I don't want to refuse because they're of interest to me. Mainly from a reputation, from a networking point of view. So I don't want to reject them, but I want to balance them nicely with a little village in the middle of nowhere, who obviously aren't going to pay me to go, but I think is the spirit of Spain and that my readers want to hear about. So it's this balancing act between doing perhaps four of the off the beaten path villages and one of the Palma de Mallorca, for example. But it's all thinking about what my readers want to hear, and also I think it's a reality check, because the people don't go and spend a week in the off the beaten track village. So I think it's a balance.
Yeah. So is the blog now commercially viable? Because you're spending more and more time on the blog. So do you generate an income from it?
No.
So how do you make a living? Or is this the idea behind the travel agency supplement your income?
This is the whole point of the blog. I would define it as my calling card. So my blog is basically saying, this is everything I know about Spain. This is what I can do with content. This is what I can do in YouTube, on Instagram. And then where the money is or where the career is not on the blog. It's in the back room, as it were. So maybe I'll be working for a company and writing content for them, but my name doesn't appear, for example.
Yeah. Time for your third piece of music, Molly. And what did you choose this time?
I chose Home by Michael Bublé, because even though I've been living abroad for 20 years, so every now and again there's just a moment and I think, I have to go back, I have to go to Nottingham, I need some fish and chips, I want to go to the pub, I want to watch the telly and be by with the fire, and you just need to be at home every once in a while.